Good evening and welcome. I'm Whitney Sweeney, President of the State Board of Education. I call the May 20th regular meeting of the State Board of Education to order. It is 5 o'clock p.m. This meeting is being held electronically. On March 12, 2020, Governor Carney issued a declaration of a state of emergency for the state of Delaware due to a public health threat. The state of emergency allows all public meetings of executive branch public bodies, including the State Board of Education, to be conducted electronically, either by means of telephone conference call or video conference call. The State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and the meeting link on May 13, 2021 on the state public meeting calendar site. Individuals may participate in this meeting via the GoToWebinar platform, which allows individuals to join the meeting via the web application or listen to the meeting via phone. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we conduct this meeting electronically. As a courtesy to others and to prevent unnecessary disruption, please mute your microphone when you are not speaking. Members of the public should refrain from speaking when they are, Members of the public should refrain from speaking. Sorry, I'm getting other calls that are coming in as I talk to you. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to the meeting. If you did not sign up and would like to do so, please, and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the question box now. This will help us to begin to create a list of individuals who would like to speak. If you are only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We will also open the floor for you to sign up for public comment in the questions box during each public comment section on the agenda. We ask that members of the public utilize the question box only to sign up for public comment or to make us aware of any technical difficulties. In order to maximize the effectiveness of this meeting, each board member should announce his or her name before speaking. Please remember to announce your name as you reply to others or participate in ongoing conversation. During the presentation, presenters will regularly pause and ask if any state board members have questions. Please do not speak until that time. During the presentation, presenters will clearly reference which document they are reviewing. When taking a vote on an item, I will ask if there is a motion and a second. We will then conduct a roll call vote. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of the meeting. First, roll call. Ms. Smith, if you could call the roll of the state board members, please.
Yes. Mr. Brittingham.
Present.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Present.
Mr. Lofink.
Present.
Dr. Noble.
Present.
Reverend Powell. Mr. Rushdan. Ms. Sampson.
Present.
Ms. Sweeney.
Present.
Ms. Turner.
Present.
Thank you. We do have quorum.
Thank you. I'd note that we also have the following individuals on the line: Secretary Susan Bunting, our attorney, Ms. Carla Jaros, and State Board of Education staff, Jenna Honor and Kathleen Smith. First up is the approval of the agenda. The board's agenda was posted on May 13th. Are there any changes to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented?
Audrey Noble, so moved.
Lofink, second.
In favor, please say aye. Aye.
Ms. Sweeney, would you please repeat your request?
Oh, I just asked if all those in favor, please say aye. And I don't know if it's just me, but I didn't. It was dead silence on my side of the phone. So do we have people voting on?
Yeah, Lofink, aye.
Pfeiffer, aye.
We can just do it unanimously because I don't think there's a lot of contention around the agenda.
Exactly.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. The April 22nd regular meeting minutes were provided to the board in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions? Is there a motion to approve the April 22nd regular monthly meeting minutes as presented?
Lo Fink, so moved.
Is there a second?
Greenham, second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Okay, so the first on the agenda is a presentation, actually, which is really nice to kind of get back to what we used to do when we rotated around the state and were able to hear from districts. So tonight we actually have Capital School District, a presentation on equity strategy and approach. So I'd like to welcome Capital School District administrators, Dr. Jocelyn Brown, Supervisor of Instruction, and LaWanda Borneo. And actually, I apologize because I should have checked to make sure I had a pronunciation right. So I apologize. I may have just butchered that. Supervisor of Student Services, who will provide information about the work that the Capital School District has been doing focused on equity. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. And Ms. Honor will be putting everything up on the screen and can control that for you. So thank you very much for joining.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having us. One day we'll see you all in person soon, I hope. Great. So if you'll just go ahead to slide two, please. We'll jump right into Capital's equity journey. So again, I'm LaWanda Burgoyne, Supervisor of Student Services for Capital. And in light of racial injustices across America and heightened social awareness of structural racism, last summer, Capital made a commitment to renew efforts to identify barriers and improve our systems in order to ensure we met the needs of the whole child in a safe, inclusive, and equitable way. Central to this work was our existing equity team, which had been in place for several years. And our first step was to expand the team to now include administrators, staff, and community members. In the next year, we hope to include students as well. Next slide.
As a team, our first action was to create a charge statement, which was a central vision that would drive our team's work. And our team charge, as you see before you, is the Capital School District Equity Committee is dedicated to ensuring every student is respected as an individual and given equitable access to high quality instruction in a safe and supportive, diverse, enriching learning environment by dismantling structures that lead to barriers, creating authentic learning experiences for our students. Our work focuses on five core areas, which include our policies and our practices, considering who benefits, who loses, and how all students are impacted by existing policies and practices, leadership, building capacity of leaders to be culturally informed, skilled in culturally responsive practices, and agents of change, teaching and inclusive practices, creating opportunities for all students to achieve academic success at high levels through culturally responsive practices, social justice education, and a diverse curriculum, hiring and retention, engaging in strategic recruitment, development, hiring, and retention of individuals who reflect and support our diverse student body, and family, school, and community engagement, building upon the collaborative strengths of families, educators, and community members so they can each contribute to the development and successes of students. Next slide, please.
So in order to move forward, to make sure that we looked back and gave credit to the work that had already been done, during the 2017-18 school year, developed. At that time, we had partnerships with Institutes of Higher Education, the Department of Education, the Education Trust, and Mid-Atlantic Equity Consortium. We held focus groups and community forums centered on equity, and those were resources and expertise to guide and support the full implementation of the Capital School District teaching and learning model. This model guides our efforts to improve student access to the highest levels of course equitable practices in every area and facet of the school, and increase student academic, social, and emotional progress. All of this work was vital in preparation for our moving forward. Next slide, please.
We developed a process for selecting an equity partner to take us further along in our journey. Our team provided an opportunity for 7 potential partners to interview with the equity core team using the Hexagon tool to ensure fit and sustainability. The core team unanimously agreed to partner with the Rowan University Peer Lab for a 3-to-4-year partnership where Rowan partners will serve as a guide for 1 year in building our capacity as a district and to begin developing a district equity vision. They will release more of the responsibility to us in years 2 and 3, and by year 4, we will be leading the work on our own. Rowan will continue to provide us with resources, support, and networking opportunities for many years to come. Several groups were established to help us ensure that all of our stakeholders had a voice in this process. So as you heard, we had already established an equity core team. In working with Rowan University, we cast a very wide net to engage all of our stakeholders, including students and community members, in our equity council. This is a multidisciplinary team that meets monthly and contributes to the development of the equity strategic plan. They also engage in professional learning. They will be prepared to lead conversations in their own buildings. And they will also begin researching and identifying issues of concern and posing solutions to identified issues. The Student Voice Group is a group made up of students in grades 4 through 12. And the students will meet periodically and will be empowered to be change agents in the school district. A group of adults, trained adults, will lead students through the process of researching and identifying issues, and will lead the students through the process of posing solutions for problems. Teachers will also work together to customize and implement a student voice curriculum, and the students will begin to learn more about equity and will be agents of change within their schools. There's also an administrator group that whose work runs parallel to these teams so that they can ensure that this vision is actualized in each of our schools. Next slide, please.
So our path forward. Moving forward with those teams that Dr. Brown just explained, our equity council, our admin team, and the student voice work, we're going to build a common language and really dig into what are our areas of need and what are the best solutions that we can put in place. Action teams will then be built to address each of those areas of need centered around the 5 areas of work that we touched on originally: policy and practice, teaching practices, human resource actions, et cetera. Those things will happen at both the district and school team level, and our goal is to have this work, equity awareness, embedded into every practice, every initiative, and every decision across the district. Next slide, please.
As we mentioned, we worked very hard to engage stakeholders that hadn't had a voice in the past. So in order to do that, one of the strategies we used was to develop a video inviting stakeholders to participate in our work. And not sure if there's a link to the video here, but this is just...
Would you like us to play it? We can play it. It's also available for anyone on our meeting materials site if they would like to watch it themselves.
Yes, it's extremely short, so if we have time, it would be great to play the video as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you. There's There's usually sound to the video, and what you would hear in the video is the students just saying, my voice matters, your voice matters too, and we would love to engage you in the work around equity for our school district. As a result, we have over 100 participants in this work, and we're very excited to see the next steps in our equity journey. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time tonight and the presentation you just prepared. I'm going to open it up to the floor for the board if there are any questions or comments that they would like to make.
Thank you, Madam President. This is Lo Fink. I just hit a question. I think it was the phrase of barriers that would have to be removed. I was wondering what they felt were the structural barriers at Capital School District that had to be removed in some regards. I liked your presentation and where you're going, but I just wanted to know what were some of those structural barriers that you had to remove, so to speak.
Yeah, so we are in the process of reviewing data and in order to identify what some of those barriers might be. So first we want to identify where some of the gaps are that are preventing stakeholders from accessing services, support, whatever it is that we offer to our stakeholders in the district. Once we identify what those areas are, we'll dig down deeper and start looking at some of the data to figure out what might be preventing access to all of our stakeholders to the resources that we're trying to provide. So that's part of the work that we're going to be doing with Rowan. It's very data centric, and we're really excited to see what it leads us to. We know that there are barriers. We haven't necessarily identified all of them at this point.
Great, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, good evening. It's Wendy Turner. I just wanted to say thank you for the presentation. It was really informative and your work is inspiring. I wanted to ask you, how critical is it to have the third party equity partner, Rowan, working with you to accomplish your goals?
So this is LaWanda Burgoyne. I'll pop in and answer that. So I've been deeply integrated with this work, and I was lucky enough to have Dr. Brown join us 2 years ago to assist in Capital. It is critically important for us, and I don't know that every district or school needs to do it this way, but it was critically important for us to have a third party who, first of all, had expertise in the process of equity work, but also had an outside view, because, you know, the question about barriers, sometimes it's really hard for us to see our own barriers. So having an unbiased outside organization who could come in and provide that expertise, but also look at us in a new way, was really important to our work. But we also wanted to, you know, Dr. Brown mentioned the Hexagon tool. It was really important when we searched for a partner that we worked with someone who was willing to get to know who we were as an organization and what our what our focus was, so that they could make sure they were integrated and they weren't putting their program on us. We weren't buying something that was just a lock stock, program, but that instead they worked with us to develop what would work in our system.
So that makes a lot of sense. I was struck by the fact, I think it was mentioned that the core team unanimously agreed on Rowan after using the Hexagon tool. So it must have been a very powerful connection that was made. And I just wanted to ask you about your focus groups. How did they run? Who was involved? And how many stakeholders were involved in your focus groups?
So we did the focus groups about 4 years ago now with Mid-Atlantic Equity Consortium. And we had staff focus groups, we had admin focus groups, we had student focus groups, and we had community focus groups. And we had an open invitation to attend, and then we also did some strategic invitations to bring people to the table. And those focus groups were moderated and facilitated by Mid-Atlantic Equity because we thought it was very important, again, that we had sort of that outside view and that everyone who participated felt that they were able to be completely open and honest in the feedback that they gave.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much for expanding on your presentation. I appreciate it.
Hello, this is the student member, Elise Sampson, speaking. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I just had a quick question. I just heard you the student focus groups, and I would like to know how those went and how you think they have benefited what you guys are trying to produce here in Capital School District.
So I'll jump back in. The student focus groups we did 4 years ago benefited students in a couple of ways. At that point, we did just high school, but we were able to then model additional focus groups moving forward with other initiatives on that model. So bringing students together, explaining the way it would work, explaining, you know, the confidentiality that comes with being as a part of a focus group, but really allowing them to have a voice and see that they can have an impact on change is critically important. We do want to expand that beyond district initiatives, however. So we do want to make sure that that we are embedding that into our school culture, which is why we have this student voice section that Rowan will be helping us with, so that there are staff in eventually every school who have a student voice curriculum who can support a group of students in not only identifying what are the needs, but then also coming up with potential solutions.
Thank you so much. That answered my question perfectly. And it also answered the question that I was going to ask afterwards, which was, how do you guys plan to expand on this? And I'd also like to know what plans you guys have for like taking this into the community. I'm a firm believer that things don't just happen within the school district. They have to be a part of the community as well, because families have to be a part of these changes. So do you guys have any plans for this initiative?
So as we mentioned on our Equity Council, we have a variety of stakeholders involved. Many of the members of our Equity Council include clergy, members of the National Panhellenic organizations, a variety of community stakeholders, actually way more than we expected to reach, joined our Equity Council. And so, as we mentioned, the work that they're going to be doing is just really looking at data and providing input into what the concerns are for each of our stakeholder groups. And everyone will have a voice and an opportunity to develop solutions for those topics. So we're really excited at the level of community engagement that we were able to have in this group.
Great, thank you guys again so much for sharing. I loved the presentation and everything you guys had to say.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Any additional questions, comments? Okay, I'm going to take that silence as nothing additional. So with that, thank you very much. Very much appreciate your time and your presentation. And I do hope that we are back in the school soon and we have a chance to meet you. So thank you. And if there are any further questions or comments from any members of the board, if they want to just direct them through Ms. Honor, we will make sure that they get to everyone at Capital. So thank you very much. The next item on the agenda are charter school updates, and this is just for information. So work underway in the charter school office has been provided via the written report. We do have Kim Klein, Associate Secretary for Operations Support, on the line as well this evening. And I would just ask if you could hold off on any questions that are related to the modification applications until the next section of the agenda. So specific to the update that has been provided, are there any questions for Ms. Klein about the written report? Okay, I'm going to take that silence to be that there are no questions, and we're going to move on to the major modification application. Again, this is for information for Great Oaks Charter School. The record to date for Great Oaks major modification request has been posted to our eBoard site. This information will be included as part of the record that comes before the State Board for action. The Charter School Accountability Committee met on April 27th to discuss the application. Follow-up documentation from the school is due today. CSAC is scheduled to meet again on May 27th to further discuss the application and recommend a path forward to the Secretary. This is scheduled to come before the State Board for action at the June meeting. Dr. Noble has been participating on the Charter School Accountability Committee, so thank you, Dr. Noble, for representing the board there. As a reminder, the board must make our decision on the record that comes before us. So this is the best time to raise questions or concerns that you'd like our board representatives to address during the CSAC process. So I'd like to open it up to the board. Are there any questions or items for discussion?
Madam President, I hope this is Lo Fink. I hope this is an appropriate time to just ask this question. If it's not, I'll ask it at an appropriate time. I'm reflecting upon the CSAC process, and thank Dr. Noble for her involvement with Great Oaks and ongoing involvement with Great Oaks. I guess I wanted to question, and if this isn't the right time, please tell me, regarding Dr. Noble's request that that we put them, I'm trying to think of the appropriate term, that put them under formal review. And Ms. Klein's response to that, could you, if this is the appropriate time, could you just walk me through that explanation? Because I want to make sure that, you know, we have enough information at that time when we vote on the Great Oaks major modification.
Yes, I think Ms. Klein is on the line. If so, she wants to speak up. But no, I think it's a good, it seems like a good point to ask those questions that come along. So thank you for that. Are you on?
Yes, I am here. Thank you. I was having a problem on my laptop, but I got into you guys on my phone. So apologize for not being on camera.
No, that's fine.
So Mr. Lo Fink, I'm afraid I might have heard the last part of your question. And so would you be able to restate that for me?
Yeah, and no problem. And it was kind of a jumbled question anyway, to be very honest with you. But I know Dr. Nobles had made a request that we have a request to put Great Oaks under formal review. And that you came back and this is just in ways of an explanation. This isn't a disagreement. And talked about that's not the appropriate way at this time, and this could be worked through in the CSAC process. And I was wondering if you could just explain that a little bit, because I know we have to end up, of course, voting to assent for the Secretary Bunting's recommendation, and most often Secretary Bunting follows the CSAC recommendation. So I was just wondering about how that would be addressed within the CSAC process, her request for having a formal put them on under formal review.
Sure, got you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So we believe that through the CSAC process for their application, we will be able to apply conditions or make a recommendation to adjust their enrollment. So in the application, the school has given us updated enrollment figures that they believe they would be able to meet as we reduce their grade levels. Those enrollment numbers are in line with what the department would expect to see and would project, and really with what their enrollment numbers are now. So we believe through that process that we're already going through, we'll be able to make adjustments to their enrollment figures to be reflective of where they would be in the coming school year and then beyond. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, Ms. Klein. I guess, and I go back to being a born and raised in Wilmington, and the fact that we hear or persistently hear about the need for another high school in Wilmington. I think it's just critical that their efforts with your help are successful, so that that option. And I know there's Freire now, an additional high school from a while back, that with your help that we'll be able to pull this off, and we won't be facing a couple situations that we had before where we've allowed for modifications and then had the, you know, the schools be terminated. That was basically my concern, Ms. Klein.
Sure. Got you. And that's definitely our goal as well. And we think that we're better able to work with the school to adjust their enrollment and assist them through the CSAC process than we would be through a formal review process at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Now, actually, if I could just follow up on that question, is the idea, and when I say this, I'm certainly not saying that they are compared to Odyssey, but from a process standpoint, would it be that you potentially would be setting conditions around, you know, whatever the condition is that you're choosing to put in, whether it's, you know, it's enrollment and that they have to meet X by X or take certain action. What kind of parameters would you set to ensure that there is compliance with that? Right. So like if they don't do it, what are the consequences? Is that kind of what you're thinking, that you could have a condition that has a very clear path forward in terms of if they don't meet it, that there are next steps that would be taken, similar to how we did Odyssey?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as part of the CSAC process, you know, certainly I need to see what the committee members may bring to the table for discussion and what, if any, follow-up questions we have from the school. But one of the things that we do intend to explore is condition around enrollment. And frankly, there may be multiple conditions that are recommended, but I agree with you, as we think about those conditions, we should definitely also be thinking about and considering what if, you know, if those conditions are not met, then what are the next steps?
Okay, I feel like very strongly that, and I think this is how we were successful with Odyssey, in terms of making sure that there is compliance and adherence to those conditions, is if there are no implications for not doing so, then there's really no incentive to do it. So that would be my concern, because it's wonderful to monitor things, but if you don't actually have any teeth behind it, then we're just monitoring it and we could end up in a bad situation, as we've certainly seen in the past. So that would just be my follow-up comment.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Were there any, and thank you, Mr. Luffing. Those were good questions. Are there any further questions or comments regarding Great Oaks Charter School? And remember, it does need to be, we need to make sure that Dr. Noble has this to get on the record at the next CSAC. And actually, I don't know if it might be relevant, Dr. Noble, if you could raise that, what Mr. Luffing, with the conversation that was just discussed in terms of having conditions that actually do have very clear requirements as to how they can be met, and then what happens if they are not met, if that's something that could be raised at CSAC, if that's appropriate.
Yeah, I absolutely will do that. If I could just say, in my board report, I recorded the questions that the board asked of Great Oaks the last time and their responses. So if you know, people want to refer to that, that information is there in my board report. I guess the other thing that, excuse me, I have a really bad cold here. The other thing that I would just like to ask Ms. Klein, did they submit their report today? I didn't see it online, the one that's due today.
I'm not sure, Dr. Noble. I can check on that and get back to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Actually, one of the things that was raised, which I saw in yours, Dr. Noble, was the graduation rate. was, I want to say it was 42-ish percent versus, so let's say 73 for other schools. That's a pretty big difference in terms of being able to successfully meet the needs of students. So there is this huge need to have, as Mr. Lofink recognized, to have a school in the city of Wilmington. But if we're graduating less than half of the kids, I'd like to think that we could do more.
Yeah, that question came up from in their application. They made a claim that they were going to be, you know, would have higher graduation rates than the schools that are currently serving the city. So I pulled that data from the Reading Commission report and the DOE report card, and that was actually their freshman on track rate to graduate, which was 42%. And from 2015 to 18, the graduation rate for Wilmington students was actually 73%, according to the Reading Commission. And the most recent data that the Department of Education provided was, it was just as strong. So when I asked them about that, their answer was how they plan to improve that was, they plan to have each student with a designated guidance counselor. They're going to focus on the behavioral health of all students. They're committed to developing CTE pathways based on students' interests. They're going to be sure that their programs are aligned with MTSS, and they're also planning co-requisite courses along with CTE work to support their students' progress. I have the same concern. I believe that it's really important that we have a strong high school option for students in the city beyond what we currently have. I'm not saying that the Votek school and the other schools there are not strong options, but I want, if we're going to provide a high school option, it needs to be a really good one, because these are probably our most at-risk students. And I mean, we have another charter school in the state, Positive Outcomes, that took on the most at-risk students in the Dover area, and they've been quite successful. So there's a model there already, and I'm hoping there's going to be some collaboration between those two schools. But so I did bring up that point because you know, they made a declaration that they were doing better, and I really kind of had to counter that with the data. So that's in my report as well.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Noble, I'm sorry. This is Kim Klein. I just wanted to follow up to Dr. Noble's request. We have received a portion of the school's response. It came in just a few minutes ago, and we're expecting the full response by 6 p.m.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments around Great Oaks Charter's major modification application? Okay, if there are no further comments, then we will move on from the agenda perspective. If there are anything that you would like to add or to make sure that is reflected in the record, please make sure that you communicate to Ms. Honor and to Dr. Noble so that we can make sure that's on the record that comes before us in June. Thank you, Ms. Klein, for joining us tonight.